Praise the Lord, church. It is so great to be here today in the house of the Lord on this beautiful, beautiful, isn't it been a beautiful weekend? It has just been an amazing stretch of weather we've had here, and I'm just thankful that it's not snowing and raining and cold. And every day we have above 50 is one less day we have of cold, right? Let's all stand this morning. We're going to change our format up a little bit. But it is great to be here today, and we're going to start off this service. We had a great, Sister Jessica Rivas did a phenomenal job in our Bible study this morning. And we're going to open up this service in prayer, many of you may know already, and some of you may have not heard, but Sister Eileen Manley passed away on late Friday night, early Saturday morning. And we have some of the family here today. We have Ken and we have Keith. Of course, Sister Lori attends here. And it is just, what a lady. I tell you what, you know, my mom, I don't ever remember my mom spanking me, maybe once or twice. Sister Eileen Manley, on the other hand, she was one of those ladies. Yeah. When she got a hold of your ear, she didn't let go. We'll talk more about that next Saturday, her funeral. Her homegoing will be next Saturday at 1 o'clock. Visitation will be between the hours of 11 and 1. And we want to come and pay respect. It's just such an awesome, awesome lady. This is what it's all about, isn't it, church? Going to see Jesus. I fought a good fight. I punched the devil right in the nose. Yep. So let's pray. We have a great service. We have the Vernons here today. We're excited about that. So we want to pray for this service. Pray for the Manley family. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, you are so awesome. It's so great to feel your presence, to feel your power in this place today. Lord, today is Holy Ghost Sunday. Lord, you came, Lord, that we would have power over sickness, power over all kinds of situations in our lives through the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we couldn't have it, Lord, if you wouldn't have come. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the life of Sister Eileen Manley. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon the family this time of loss. Lord, it's kind of emotionally mixing. It's a loss, but it's a celebration. And Lord, we're going to miss her, but Lord, we're going to see her again. We pray, Lord, for this day, for this service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And if you're a guest of ours, it's just an honor to have you here today. And we have a little connection card that you were able to hopefully get out in the kiosk. And would just like if you'd be love to fill this out so we can just connect with you. Pastor Phil will be giving you a call and greeting you personally over the phone. And we're just thankful for you being here with us today. So you can, if you're online, you could go on the bit.ly link there on the website there and connect with that. We also have some giving options. There's an offering box out in the vestibule, a little plexiglass box, so you can mail it in to our website, or you can give through the church app at our church app center. And we have some things coming up this Friday. November 4th is our all-church prayer meeting, and we have this once a month. So this will be our Friday, our November prayer meeting. Just remember, the month of December, because of our Christmas schedule, we do not have a prayer meeting in the month of December. So we will be having our last prayer meeting, will be this Friday, or the November 4th. Hard to believe that we're already almost in November. But and then also we have our Veterans Day service, which is a special tribute to our veterans here at Calvary Gospel Church, that will be on November 13th. And then also we need to remember, as I said, that we have Sister Eileen Manley's visitation this coming Saturday at 11 to 1, and then her service for her homegoing life celebration will be at 1 o'clock. It has been an honor to have Ben and Vicki Vernon as part of Calvary Gospel Church. And Sister Vicki is going to be speaking a little bit later, but we're going to have Brother Ben just come and just greet you here for a moment. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back. It's good to see everyone again. And that song has just been rolling in my spirit. The Lord's been good to me. I think I'll testify. How many can say amen? How many has got a testimony? Just kidding, Pastor. I told him I was going to do one of those old ones back in the day when he was like, who got a testimony? It was like popcorn. So we call them popcorn services. Amen. But we have been on the road. My sweetie broke her foot. Amen. And I've been down with an old injury, flared up. It's let up now. I don't have to walk with my cane anymore. Amen. But it's just so good to be back. Amen. It hasn't hindered our traveling. We were in Oconomowoc in New Berlin. Amen. God has been filling people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what he does. You know, people want to talk about different things in the Word. I had an aunt that all she ever wanted to talk about was the mark of the beast. And I just kind of got tired of that. And I told her, I said, until you repent and you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost, mark of the beast ain't going to do you any good. That's the only thing that's going to keep you in the mark of the beast. Amen. Amen. That's the first and most important thing, is being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we are born again of the water and of the Spirit. We have that prophecy spirit. We have that spirit of faith. Amen. And we should walk in that spirit. Amen. And we'll always have a testimony of what we see God do. Amen. And so, without further ado, God bless. Thank you.
For the battle belongs.
Brother Ben here today. Now, Sister Vicky, she said she tripped in a rest area somewhere. I think that maybe Brother Ben, not quite for sure what may, we don't really know because we weren't there to witness. So he come back with a sore leg and she came back with a... This lady is like my sister, and we pick on each other quite, every time we call each other, it starts off with a little dig here or there. But anyway, it is so great to have them here today. And Sister Vicky, could be a little different. She should be sitting down. But God bless you, Sister Vicky. We love you and we appreciate you. Preach to us this morning.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I must say that he is an instigator. I wouldn't have even thought about all those scenarios. It's good to be home. This is the home church, and with all of you. And there is no way that I can reach out and call names and tell you one by one how much I appreciate you and love you. But I do. And we are so thankful for your prayers through the years. Our church family, this is over 20 years that I have been allowed the privilege to minister here, and what a privilege it is. And I was there when several of you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because I get to be here for a Holy Ghost Sunday every year. That means today is Holy Ghost Sunday. That means that anybody that is probably around 3 or 4 all the way up to 103 or 104 can be filled today with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And there is no way you're going to leave here today without that opportunity. And I would like to say that it's real important that all of us are refilled over and over and over again. I want to give honor today to Bishop Grant and his lovely wife, and for what they have laid here, this foundation. They brought me in years and years ago, and then Pastor Roy took that mantle up so wonderfully, and I won't use the pulpit to joke. We just do that on the phone. But I do, I love him and I esteem him highly, and he has great wisdom. And I'm very thankful for his voice, Sister Lois' voice in my life. And where would I be without my sweetheart, who did not knock me down? Actually, I was holding our new puppy. Someone said, every time I ever hear about an elder person getting a broken bone, it involves a puppy. I haven't had time to stop and really think about that. But we have a new baby, and I was picking him up, and he distracted me, and I got my heel caught in some kind of hole in the ground. And long story short, here I am. This is not about me today. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You didn't need me to lift him up today. Anybody could have done that, but I was asked to. So I'm going to do my very best to do that today. I give honor to the ministry staff of this church. I travel a lot, but I do not see the quality of ministry staff like we have here. The multiple people who are on call all the time, ready to help in any way. And I'm thankful for that. I am going to do something a little different today. And when I get all finished, this front row right here is empty, and that one is almost empty. And I'm just preparing you ahead of time. I'm going to invite anyone, child or adult, teenager, that would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the first time. And I'm not going to make you make that long march up here and stand. I'm going to let you sit on the front seats. And then the music's going to play, and the power of God, the anointing, is already here. And I'm going to speak a word of faith in this microphone, and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And you are going to be worshiping and seeking him and making sure your heart is right. And then he's going to move in your heart, and you are going to be filled with the Spirit today. And so that's how we're going to end this service, is people are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm going to, of course, talk a little bit about that today. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And I'm reading verses 1 through 5. If you feel better standing for the reading of the word, you sure may do that. I cannot, and the Lord understands that. But you may stand if you'd like. 5 and verses 1 through 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. One version of the scripture says, and hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. It maketh not ashamed. Because why? We have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Doesn't stop there. A lot of people quote that and they stop there. How does that love get in our heart? The love of God. It says, by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost Sunday. You want the love of God. You don't want to be ashamed. You don't want to be disappointed. You need the love of God in your heart. If you don't have the love of God, you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so today, for your hearing, I have a message that God has given me. And I'm gonna tell you a funny story. We're going to laugh. And then we're going to cry, and then we're going to pray through, and then we're going to go have lunch. Sound like a plan? The name of my message is Faker, Faker. You may be seated. Well, that says Faker, 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 Faker. And I'm going to tell you why it says all of that today. I have used props throughout the years. The Lord called me to minister when I was 17 years old. I was at Apostolic Bible Institute. I've told you the story that I did my first object lesson by going to the pulpit and tripping and falling. I have the falling gene. It runs in our family. I fell and my notes went everywhere. My Bible hit the floor and I cried and I decided I was not cut out for this and I was not going to do it. And down there on the floor, I made a quick decision I was going to plow on through. So I stood up with the whole student body laughing and all of the hierarchy of the college was there, the president and the teachers and everybody. And I hear them snickering and I decide I'm going to plow on through. And I pick myself up and I open my scripture and I read my scripture text from Isaiah. And the scripture says, he bringeth low and lifteth up. And they all did what you're doing, and I didn't know why. And I was standing there going, what? I'm trying to plow on through this thing here, and you're still... Then it dawns on me that I had just done my first object lesson. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And in that first service, when I got finished and gave the altar call, there was a young man there that night that was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And so I've been using object lessons ever since. The oldest thing that I have used, and I've used for over 30 years, some 38 years now, the Lord gave me a little vision of what you know well here at this church to be my little heart boxes. I've used these heart boxes in almost every church I've ever been in, hundreds and hundreds of churches for 38 years. I left a set of them in Australia, in Guam. I left a set in Paris, France. I give them away to teachers and leaders to use to demonstrate the Holy Ghost and salvation. I've made a lot of these and spray painted them and so on. Lots of funny things happen when you use props. You just have to realize there's malfunctions. I pulled these out one night, the tears rolling down my cheeks. And when I opened the lid, the paint wasn't dry. And when I said, the Lord takes all the sin out of your heart, and I tried to throw the sin out of the heart, it stuck. I had to change my message very quickly to how sticky sin can be. I made it through it. Another time, the church before had helped me pick up the sin off the floor and put it back in the heart when we got all done. And they didn't know they were supposed to put it back in. They threw it away. So I didn't check. And the next church, when I opened it up and I said, we were all born with dirty hearts, and the Lord came to save us from our dirty hearts. And I opened the lid and there was nothing in it. It's like magic. He does it like magic. Just disappear. I got through that one. But you know the hearts. The Lord brought these little hearts to me all these years ago. And what I have found, that they work, because the plan of salvation is easy. We shouldn't complicate this where people can't understand it. It's an easy salvation. It's for everyone. Every little child should understand today how to be saved. What if Jesus comes today? There shouldn't be anybody leave here and say, well, I don't know how to get to heaven. You're not going to have that excuse when you leave here today. You're going to know how to get to heaven, and you're going to have an opportunity. Hallelujah. All you have to do is bring your heart to Jesus. The Bible says repent. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after the Holy Ghost was poured out, people began to ask, how do I get to heaven? How can I be saved? And the preacher was there and he said, oh, this is all you have to do. Repent. Ask God to forgive you for your sins and make up your mind you're going to try not to live that way anymore. You're going to work on it. Repent. Turn away from your sin. So the moment you come to the altar and you begin to repent, you tell Jesus you're sorry. What you're doing is allowing him to go into your heart. He's a perfect gentleman. He won't go in there until you invite him. But the moment you do, he's not like anyone else. He doesn't judge. He's not going to look in there. You know, you look in my heart, I look in yours, and we're real harsh on each other sometimes. We shouldn't be. You mean you did all that? Well, you better cry some more. That's not how Jesus is. The moment you ask him, with one sweep of his hand, he cleans out that heart and leaves a clean, empty spot that he can move into. Hallelujah. I have never done that, probably hundreds of times, that I haven't felt the anointing, because it's just so. It's the way it is. The Bible says he takes away that old stony heart. You don't go home with that same old stony heart. He takes it away. And if you'll make your way to the waters of baptism today, we have the baptismal tank ready. The Bible says that you must be born of water and of spirit. You can get the Holy Ghost first, or you can be baptized first. But you better get them both done, because that's what's going to take you up when Jesus comes. You know, no one was ever baptized any other way in the Bible but by going down under the water in Jesus' name. You don't have to believe me. It's in there. Well, why do people do it all different ways? For convenience. Because they've misunderstood. Because they haven't studied the word. Many different reasons. And it's a walk by faith. And faith will take you to the next step. And if you're here today, you're hearing the next step. Don't ignore it. You're not here by accident. The Bible says no man comes unless he draws them. He's drawing you today. It's him that invited you. You say, no, my friend invited me. But the Lord ordained it. It's your day today. You go to that water and they take you down under in Jesus' name. Wow, sin makes a mess. This is a mess up here. I make messes everywhere I go. But the moment you go down in the name of Jesus, all of that disappears, because he doesn't just forgive you, but he forgets about it. It disappears in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I love this gospel. And then while you're thanking him, all you have to do is be thanking him. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you for cleaning out my heart. The Bible says he takes away the old stony heart. And as you're praising him and thanking him, he gives you a brand new heart. The Bible says he takes away the old one and gives you a new one. Hallelujah. And in this is where he lives. He moves in your heart. And he fills you up with his spirit. And he doesn't just fill you to the top of your heart. He keeps filling and filling until it gets up here. He just keeps pouring that Holy Ghost until it gets here. And then the words, strange words come to your mind. Why? Because when a baby is born, it cries. When we're born again, there is a sound. And the sound that the Lord chose was speaking with other tongues. That means another language. You don't learn it in school. You don't know it before you come to pray. You don't have to sound like anyone else. You can't do it wrong. All you have to do is just lift your hands and receive it. It's a gift. He fills you all the way up. And when it gets right here, your lip and tongue may wiggle. That's called stammering lips. But not everybody does. Some people, the words just come to their mind and they speak them right out of their mouth. Some people, it's very soft. Some are very loud. Some say a lot of words. Some say a few. He fills you according to your personality. No one has to touch you. No one has to be near you. You can get the Holy Ghost sitting on this front seat today. It'll never be any easier for you. Today's the day of salvation. Hallelujah. And that is simply the gospel. That's how simple it is. Oh, I feel the anointing today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was ministering in a church. And if you have seen me minister, you know the passion that I minister with. I feel the anointing so strong today. I feel like God is reaching for people. I've never been in a pulpit in 38 years that I haven't felt this passion for the lost. People, we got to get ready. Jesus is coming. We don't have time to worry about what's going on around us. Jesus is coming. And I was ministering like I do. I'd been asked to go to a daughter work of a large church that they had just recently, a few weeks before, opened. But they had two women that needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost and wanted the Holy Ghost, like some of you today. You came to get it. So they asked me, would I be willing? It was a couple hours away to drive right after the main service, just hit the road and get there for the afternoon service. And of course, I said yes, because when a door opens in front of you, you walk through it or you roll through it. And so we went and I was ministering. I decided to keep it very simple and I took the little hearts and I was talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost. I had the sparkly heart in a gift bag. It's a gift. You're not afraid to receive a gift. Gifts are given to everyone. It's not right to think that the Lord might just give this precious gift to some people. It's for everybody. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about the gift, and the power of God is in that room. The tears are rolling down my cheeks, and I'm getting ready to close the message with my little hearts, and I'm standing up in front of the small crowd. And they took a group of people from the church to play music and to sing and to minister with in the altar. And there was probably 30 or 40 from the headquarters church there along with these young visitors and new converts. I have my heart out and I pull it out of the bag and I talk about the dirty heart. And when I get to the part of opening it up, I had been warned in the car on the way that one woman that comes each week had a son that was about 35 years old, but tragically he was the mentality of a 5-year-old, and she had her hands full raising this boy, and pastor said sometimes he will holler out in the crowd. He'll make noise. He'll talk out loud. Pastor was warning me. When I pulled this heart out of the bag, and I said, and the Lord is going to clean out our dirty hearts and move in our hearts, and the tears are rolling down my cheeks, when I start to pull the lid off, a voice comes out from the side section. The pastor's wife's on the keyboard playing softly. You have to capture that moment. And he says, "Oh, it's chocolate!" I had removed the lid, and everyone did what you did. And I see people getting up. Some have to go out. Some, their shoulders are shaking at the keyboard. But I got to bring this home for Jesus. And I said, no, it's not chocolate. Remember, we're talking about our dirty heart. And it's not chocolate in there. It's sin in there. And we have to ask Jesus to forgive us for our sins, because he's going to give us something better than chocolate. And I think I'm doing a great job. I mean, I still have tears rolling down my cheeks. I'm doing great. And he says, "Oh, man, that's supposed to be chocolate, you faker, 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 faker." That's all right. Go ahead and laugh. But I got to bring this home, because this is the gospel. And this is important. There's two ladies that need the Holy Ghost. And I'm getting no help. Now more people are exiting the building. I hear the pastor snorting behind me. Well, I might be a faker, but Jesus is not. And he's not going to disappoint you. Jesus is going to take away this old heart that should have had chocolate in it. He's going to give you something better. He's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He's going to move in your heart. It's going to be better than chocolate. I bring that all the way home. And they finally get over and get behind me. And the music is playing, and the anointing is there, and the angels are standing looking over the banister of heaven, and they're laughing. But I give that altar call, and both of those precious ladies came with their hands lifted and the tears rolling off their cheeks. And just like the Bible says, they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They began to speak words in another language. Hallelujah. One of the ladies says, "This is the best day of my life." Hallelujah. It's real. But you see, you can't blame the young man. He has noticed before that any time someone brings around a heart box, it's full of goodies. It's full of chocolate. And you can't blame him. What happened that day was he was disappointed. Disappointed because disappointment can be a defeat or a failure of expectation. It's a failure of a wish or a desire or intention, a hope that you had. Didn't come to pass. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." You ever been heart sick? Oh, I have. I hoped. I believed. I'd prayed. I trusted. But it didn't turn out the way I thought it should. Heart sick. Some of your heart's sick today. You're going through something. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll let the love of God shed abroad in your heart, he will take away the disappointment. You don't want disappointment to turn into discouragement. You don't want discouragement to cause you to walk away from God. You want to get a hold of this thing and say, wait a minute, the Lord orders my steps and my trust is in Him. And I'm not going to be disappointed, because it is not of God for us to live a disappointed life. We read the scripture. Hope does not disappoint. So you better get a hold of some hope today. And if you don't have hope, it's time to get to the altar and pray through and talk in tongues again until that hope comes back and you got something to build on again. We're going to get out of this old world. Hallelujah. It's a hope. But it's going to come to pass. Jesus will never disappoint you. He's not a faker. But I'll tell you today, the one that's a faker is the enemy of your soul. The devil's the faker. He's a liar. A faker is a person who makes deceitful pretenses. A charlatan, a fraud, a swindler, a phony, an imposter, an impersonator. Everything the devil is a faker. He's a faker. He'll make you think today you don't need to come and pray. He'll fake you out. He'll make you think that you're feeling too bad and you won't come to church. He'll make you think that things are never going to get any better. He tries to make you think this plan of salvation is too hard. He tries to make you think you don't need it. He'll tell you, well, that's not what you've always done, so you don't need to do that. The devil's a liar. He's a faker. You know, he is so tricky. All he wants is to devour you. That's what the Bible says. What's that mean? Destroy you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you while you're not saved. That's his motive. A faker. You know, in the Arctic, the polar bear's favorite meal is the seal. Polar bears eat seals. And the seals live on the fish. And they will find holes in the ice. And the seals will swim. When they hear the schools of fish, their ears are tuned to hear the fish fins hitting, glazing the top of that ice going under the icebergs. And the seals have holes where they will dive under right into that school of fish and have their meal. But that old polar bear, he knows that. Don't you think you're a case study for the devil? He knows exactly where your areas of temptation are. He knows how to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. Oh, yes, he studies you. Polar bear studies the seals and watches their movement, and he sees how they dive in those holes to get in the schools of fish and how they listen for that sound of the fins. And what happens is that polar bear gets down under the water against that ice near one of those holes. And you can see videos. It is astounding, the brilliant idea. He's going to fake them out. He takes his claws and he brushes softly the top of that ice to mimic the sound of fish fins. And it's not very long until the seal hears it and he comes waddling over. And without hesitation, he dives right in that hole to become the meal of the polar bear. The polar bear devours him. Faker. He's a faker, a deceiver. Don't be deceived today. Get what you need before you leave this service, because Jesus is coming and we're not going up when he comes without being born again. That means baptized in Jesus' name. That means filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. That's what it takes. Don't let the devil deceive you. You see, today I'm here to tell somebody, this will never disappoint you. I've been with thousands of people when they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 1,500 orphans in Africa, all over the world, children, adults. This is real, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I never have heard anyone say, wow, that was a disappointment. That wasn't what I expected. Never, not one time. Matter of fact, I've heard the opposite. One young man, ex-drug addict, working on his life, said, "Wow, that was better than ecstasy." Believe you me, I've heard most things said, but no one has ever said that was a disappointment. Jesus will never disappoint you today. He won't let you down. He won't fail you. He won't hurt you. He's all about comforting you when you're going through trials and tests. He's all about healing you and helping you and making you whole. He's all about being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't let the devil trick you today. It is not God that causes your problems. It's sin and it's self. And once we realize that God is holding us as we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with us when things are rough, when things are hard. He's there. He's holding us. He's listening. He's just a prayer away. We will begin to grow. I was in the altar with a young boy that was quite a challenge growing up to his parents. And he had been labeled with different disabilities. And when this little boy came to receive the Holy Ghost, it was very hard for him to sit still. The Lord will meet you at your level. Wherever you are today, He'll meet you there. And when he came, he couldn't stand still, and I put my hand over his eyes to help him a little, and he lifted his face, and it wasn't long till the anointing came, and he began to weep, and the tears rolling down his cheeks. And the little boy was very unusual child, and no one really thought he could receive the Holy Ghost, but the Lord had spoken to me that he was going to fill him. People are standing around observing because this child doesn't, you know, he doesn't stand still, let alone pray. But it was the miraculous hand of God drawing him, because no man comes unless he draws you. He was drawing him. The Lord said, "Today's his day." That little fellow lifted his hands, 10 years old, and all of a sudden, the Bible says suddenly, all of a sudden, strange words began to come out of his mouth. He began to speak with other tongues, began to speak in another language. And the parents began to weep, and people all around him were shouting and thanking the Lord. And we were observing and thanking God for what was happening. And that little boy just stopped. He said, "Did you hear that? He's really in there. Did you hear that?" He began to weep and sob and cry. I said, "Yes, baby, he's really in there. Lift your hands and do it some more." And he threw his little hands in the air and began to speak in tongues again. But he couldn't help himself. He stopped again, Brother Peter. He said, "Did you hear that? He's really in my heart. I'm telling you, it won't disappoint. Jesus will never disappoint you. He'll never fake you out. He'll never fail you." Hallelujah. I'd like for you to come to the keyboard and give them some hope. Play softly. There was another little guy, a church that I frequented for 25 years. And the parents of this little boy are foster parents. They have made it their life's ministry to take in foster children, and this little boy was their 18th foster child. And through the years, I've gotten to be there when most of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. And it is a beautiful thing that these people do, because not one child has ever left their home without being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. What a ministry. So they came to talk to me before church about this boy. This boy came with a thick record book from birth. Birth parents extremely abusive, physically, mentally, sexually. Horrible, horrible things. Battered. In a foster home that, unfortunately, the abuse repeated. They received this child, and it's their fourth, his fourth foster home. This boy is so emotionally messed up that I really don't believe the learning disabilities he's labeled with are all of that. I believe that it was mostly emotional trauma. I met him before church. He couldn't look me in the eye. They had to hold him still. He wanted to run and play. He's 7 years old. He wasn't interested. But the seed had been planted. The Sunday school teachers, the church. He had learned about salvation. The seed had been planted. I asked him if he wanted the Holy Ghost, and he said no. Well, the Lord won't give it to you if you don't want it. I'll tell you one thing. If you give it a try and you don't like it, you don't have to keep it. The devil will take you back. Just kidding. At the end of the service, they came bringing him. It took both of them to walk him up there. He didn't really want to come. You'd think, well, nobody's going to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody has to drag you up. But they wanted him to receive it so badly. They'd been praying and praying. And the Lord spoke to me. When I saw them walking him up, the Lord said, I'm going to plant a seed of healing in that child. And I'm going to fill him. Wow. I love when that happens. So I worked with some others in the altar, and they were receiving. And the Lord said, now it's time. I went over to this little boy, 7 years old, and I said, would you like for me to pray for you? He said, no. I said, well, may I pray for the Lord to help your mind so that you can focus and you can think? He shook his head. Shook his head, yes. So I said, may I put my hand over your eyes to help you? He said, yes. I put my hand over that child's eyes, and I said, Lord, only you know the trauma and what needs to be healed in this heart. But Lord, I'm asking you to plant a seed of healing in this baby today. Let it begin to grow. Let him forget about all the things that happened to him. Make it a dim memory as if it happened to someone else, and begin to heal his emotions and heal his heart. And his eyes are closed, and all of a sudden I feel tears underneath my hand. I pulled my hand away, and big tears were rolling down his cheeks. I said, would you like for Jesus to move in your heart now? He said, yes, I would. I said, well, just lift your hands. The Lord's ready to move in. He closed his eyes and lifted his face and raised his hands and used his voice. Four easy steps. I'm going to lead you through those in a moment. The tears rolling down his cheeks, he said, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry. And his lip began to wiggle. And suddenly, the power of God came on that little boy. His hands began to shake. It comes with power. Wherever you let that power go, it'll go. His little hands were just shaking. Then his little arms and hands were shaking. The power of God filled him, and he began to speak. There was the cry. When you're born again, there's a cry. The sound came out of his mouth. He began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. It was so loud and so beautiful. I held the microphone up. The people could hear him throughout the church speaking in tongues. His mom and dad were beside themselves. But again, he stopped. And he shook himself, and he looked up at me. He said, wow, that was better than fresh strawberries. They could hear him all over the building. He shouted it. I said, yes, baby. It's better than anything. He said, I'm going to do it some more. He lifted his hands and continued to talk in tongues as we rejoiced. Better than fresh strawberries. I've never had anybody say I'm disappointed. Some of you need to roll time back and remember when you were filled. You need to relive it this morning. Young people, you need to get the Holy Ghost all over again. You need to let some power come with it. As they were closing the service and people were leaving, his mom came to me and she said, I need to tell you something. I know everybody laughed and it was so cute and so comical, better than fresh strawberries. She said, but I want you to know the end of the story. She said, that big packet of paperwork that this little guy came with, and then verbally, the counselor let me know, when you can't get him to settle down, when he won't go to sleep, when he's afraid and when he's shaking, sometimes he curls up in a fetal position, when nothing else works, we have found, and it's in the records, that if we'll just get some strawberries and cut up a little bowl of strawberries, and if they're not in season, just sprinkle a little sugar on them and let him sit and eat those strawberries, there's something that changes. She said the counselor, and also in the records, advised us that somewhere along life's way, in the hardest trauma, the worst times of his life, there must have been a grandma, someone loving and kind, that in right at the right moment offered him fresh strawberries. Because the memory's there. And it's not in the strawberries. It's in the action that came with it. It's better than fresh strawberries. It's better than anything. And in the worst part of your trauma and what you've been through in your life, this is what you need. The love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It won't disappoint. Now, he's drawing you today. And I'm going to make this so easy for you that you don't have an excuse. I'm really wondering, maybe it'd be better if everyone stood to your feet, and that'll make everybody feel a little more comfortable. But if there is anyone that you have never spoken in tongues and you want the Holy Ghost, today's your day. And the front rows are empty for you. Would you come and sit? If you brought somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, walk with them. Don't make them come alone. Walk with them. Sit beside them. If you have children that need the Holy Ghost, walk with them. Get them up here on the front rows. Keep playing. Now, church, we're going to do those four steps all together. We're going to sit on the front rows. Help me. Sister Jess, maybe you come down and give me a little assistance down here. Now, we might need a little space, so come up on this row. There's also some space on that end. Now, I know some of you are there to comfort and be with, and some of you need the Holy Ghost. So I need to see who wants the Holy Ghost today. Lift your hand. You came to get the Holy Ghost. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, 6. Come over here on the end of this row. We need them on the front rows if they want the Holy Ghost. Now, we've got children up here. We have adults that need the Holy Ghost. Last weekend before last, a 98-year-old woman, Catholic all of her life, came and was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're not too old. You're not too set in your ways. You need the Holy Ghost. When we start praying here, You can still come, stand in the middle. If you brought somebody, turn to them right now. That may be all they need is a friend to walk with them. Invite them. I would. You know me, I'd be walking the aisles getting them, but I can't. So you all back there have to help me. You get them. We're going to go through the four steps of worship, okay? Now, those that need the Holy Ghost, raise your hand again on the front row. I want to see those that came to get the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, what I'd like to do, the kids that can sit alone, let them sit there alone, and the adults could move back a little. Because sometimes kids don't pray real good with parents around. That's just the way that works. Okay? All right. Everybody in the building, will you close your eyes? Everybody in the building, close your eyes. I bind every spirit of man or of Satan right now in the name of Jesus. I bind confusion and distraction in the name of Jesus. If you got anything in your hands, it should be under the seat. There you go. You're doing great. The second step is to lift your face. Eyes are closed all over this building. Second step is to lift your face. Because we're all going to get the Holy Ghost in our seats right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The third step is to lift your hands. If you're touching somebody, you could scoot over just a little bit, maybe. That's good. You're doing good. You're doing great. You're doing great. Now, with your hands raised all over this building, the last step is to use your voice. I want you to begin to talk to the Lord. Ask the Lord to forgive you if there's anything in your heart that's not right. Let's repent. We can do this all over the building. Lord, check my heart. If there's anything that would keep me from heaven, I know you might come today before the day's over, Lord. Forgive me. Clean out my heart, Lord. That's it. Talk to the Lord. You're doing good. You're doing so good. You're doing so great. Oh, yes. Talk to the Lord. Come on, open your mouth. You got to talk to him out loud. Come on, children, talk to Jesus. The Holy Ghost can come upon you back there in your seats. Some of you that need the Holy Ghost that are still sitting in your seats, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you right there where you are. Right there where you are. Yes, you're doing great. You're doing great. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Come on, children, call out the name of the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Let the tears roll down your cheeks. I love you, Jesus. I'm sorry for the bad things I've done. Come on, church. Now, I need some intercessors, somebody that will get down at the pew and begin to intercede. Babies are not born without travail. Come on, church. Let the Holy Ghost out of your mouth. Come on. Those of you that have the Holy Ghost, it's already falling. That's it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and talk in tongues now. The Holy Ghost is on you. Go on and talk in tongues. I need some altar workers that will come into the front rows now. In the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost fall. This altar is open. You may come in now. Anyone wants to come and pray, come on in. Receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Lord, I Every breath that I take, every moment I
This morning, if you prayed with someone that received the Holy Ghost, make sure you let our altar team know so we can get an altar card filled out. We have a lot of children, and I just want to encourage. I got the Holy Ghost at a youth camp, but my brother Steve got the Holy Ghost in just a family prayer sitting by my mom and dad's bed in my dad's lap. So the seeds that are sown here today, don't let that die. Yeah, your kids can be rambunctious. As with my brother Steve, it's like he could get a spanking and then he could speak in tongues. If you do my brother Steve, you know what I'm talking about. I'm very rambunctious. Couldn't sit still for very long. But just, God just has a way. God has a way. So take those seeds that were planted today and keep them nourished, keep them watered. But if you don't have family prayer time, don't expect it to happen. You got to have that family prayer time. You got to take that time and spend that with your children. And I would love nothing more to hear than by next Sunday, half of these kids got the Holy Ghost in their bedroom or in mom and dad's bedroom or in the living room. That's the awesomeness of living an apostolic lifestyle within your home. So thank you so very much. I don't even know where Sister Vicky went. she's way over here. Okay. Okay, awesome. That is awesome. So God is so good. God is so good. And like I said, we have a young man getting baptized and one get the Holy Ghost. It's just exciting. We have our Spanish service starting here in about 30 minutes. So I know we have a little bit of a time constraints on Sundays, but God bless you. Thank you so very, very much for coming out today. Thank you, Sister Jessica, for a great Bible class this morning. Thank you, Sister Vicky and Brother Ben, for a phenomenal job ministering to us today. God bless you. And we will see you here on Wednesday. And enjoy the blessings of today. God bless.